going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
With that, we welcome in Jason Lloyd. Some people say his commentary cuts like a knife. And he's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hello, Jason.
You know, one of these days you'll be able to do a live read as well as I can. Keep working at it, Kenny.
No, yours are terrible, and then you trail off at the end of them. That's the worst part about your live reads. It's like you shy away from the mic like, oh, they get it. It's like, no, they actually need all the info. These are legal things.
Like them.
Yeah,
I
Jason,
don't like hearing them.
It's good to talk to you here. All right, I said my depth chart is Joe, Kenny, then Dylan Gabriel, then Shador Sanders. Tell me why I'm wrong. I know you disagree. I'm sure you disagree. Go right on ahead.
Yeah, I'd flip the top two. I think you got 3 and 4 right, but I'd flip the top two.
Why can't we had a caller earlier who said Kenny. Why Kenny?
Kenny's going to be as of now, we still have, you know, all of off-season program, preseason training camp, all that stuff. They sought out Kenny Pickett. They pursued him. One of the first moves they made was giving up a draft asset to go get him and ETR. But, I mean, I don't think that was a devastating loss. But, like, they sought him out. They like him. Like, you can say whatever you want. They like Kenny Pickett. And I'm not saying he's the next Sam Darnold or he's going to be this resurgent quarterback comeback player of the year. But, you know, I think they look at him as someone who can run this system, who's not going to throw it to the other team, which is a really big deal. And then they went – the Flacco thing was weird to me at the time. I didn't get it. I came around on it eventually just because, like, there weren't a lot of great options out there. But, you know, we got a long ways to go. But if somebody's the odd man out, if they're going to keep both rookies at this point, I think Joe's the odd man.
I'll be dipped. Tone?
Jason, did the owner make the pick?
Well, that's the second time this morning I've been asked that. I wrote an entire column on it. I mean, yes, right? Like, yes. Just look at what they did. Now, the Browns are going to fight back on this, and they're going to rail against it, and that's fine. The problem is Jimmy has never earned the benefit of the doubt with any of his actions previously, so you can't trust them now. He's the one that pushed for Manziel. He's the one that pushed for just keep adding zeros to the check until Deshaun says yes. Deshaun told them no, and Jimmy wouldn't take no for an answer. So why on earth would you believe anything to the contrary now? I kind of checked around with a couple other teams and said, so what do you think? They're like, oh, 100%, that's a Jimmy pick, 100%. Because, like, if you look at how they have built that room, we just talked about Kenny and Joe. If you go back to Baker, social media presence, like – emotional basket case, kind of all over the place. Just not a lot of stability and leadership at that position. And then you go to Deshaun and the Instagram model and everything else. Not a lot of leadership at that position. They were moving away from that. They were moving. Look at people who know Kenny Pickett swear what an incredible human being he is, what a great leader he is, how great he is in the locker room, da-da-da-da-da. And then they go and they get Joe. Same thing. Adult. 40 years old, grown man, meets his responsibilities, a dad, like, you know, always does the right thing, always is a great leader. And then go talk to anyone about Dylan Gabriel. It's the exact same thing. And then you got the Shador experience coming in. So one doesn't fit with the others. And, you know, was it great value in the fifth round? Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's fine. Like, take the swing, bring him in, see what happens. Yes, I wholeheartedly believe that the owner made the pick on that. But I also don't think it really matters at this point. He's here, and he's going to be on the field, and they got to figure this out.
Well, the reason I ask about the owner is because you wonder what the impact it has on that roster decision going forward. Like, what is going to have to happen for him to just not be on the football team if the owner wants him on the football team?
Well, here's where I would – I'm splitting hairs here, and I get it. They always thought – they told you, just with their actions, the quarterback is coming next year. The quarterback is coming next year. The trade down from 2 to 5, which I loved, I thought it was a robbery, that was to find the quarterback for next year. They took Dylan freaking Gabriel. They never expected him to be here. So I don't know how you can take another quarterback over top of him and then suddenly pivot to, okay, we've just found our answer for the long-term future. He's going to get an opportunity. He's going to get a chance. But I think the entire organization was in agreement the quarterback was going to come next year. And I'm not going to go down the Arch Manning rabbit hole. It's not worth it. There's too much time between now and then. There's too many variables. But we all know the relationship between the Manning family and Jimmy. If Arch is everything that everyone thinks he's going to be, if he does come out, like, you know, so that's down the road. But that's part of the reason why you got to play these guys. Like, I think Kenny's the week one starter as of now. But you can't sit, like, you got to play these guys so you know what you have, so you know if you have to go get a quarterback or not. It's the same reason why I said, hey, you got to play DTR. You got to know what you have. And they found out it wasn't much. So they were in position to make some noise in this draft because it went so badly. Well, you're in the same boat now. You've got to play, I believe you've got to play both Dylan and Shador and see what you've got this year. Is it throwing them into the fire? Yeah, a little bit. But, oh, well, life's not fair. This is where they're at because they have to know, do we have something here or do we stick with our original plan of going to find the quarterback in 26?
We had a caller earlier just before we took you on, Demos, who said that Kenny Pickett might be trade bait if this season goes where it's the training camp goes where it's supposed to go. Is that a possibility, or you think Kevin loves Kenny so much he is the week one guy and there's no way they'd move off of him?
No, I wouldn't say that Kevin loves Kenny so much he's the week one guy and there's no way they move off him. I wouldn't say that. I think he's the early front runner right now. And this team isn't going anywhere this year. Why would you choose a 40-year-old quarterback over a 26-year-old quarterback? That part doesn't make any sense.
You know what
Joe is. You know what his strengths are. You know what his weaknesses are. He likes to throw it to the other team. That's the one thing that drives this head coach absolutely crazy is turnovers. So, and that's what Kenny Pickett doesn't do, is he doesn't turn the ball over. He doesn't throw a ton of interceptions. So, I'm not saying it's impossible. If Joe comes in there and outplays everybody, yeah, he's a weak starter, and they'll probably trade Pickett. But as of now, it's April. As we sit here in April, I think Kenny's QB1 right now.
So, one of them could go. One of them could be traded. Do you think that Shador Sanders, because my thought is Shador Sanders would probably get cut at the end of camp and then end up just on the practice squad.
I mean, someone else would pick him up if they cut him.
See, I don't think they would. If they're willing to let him go, I mean, if he can't separate himself and show that, hey, this was really the number two quarterback in the draft, if he can't do that by the end of training camp, I mean, they passed on him 5 times over these other teams did. I think they'd have no problem letting him be on the Browns training camp or Browns practice squad.
No, see, I disagree. I think someone's going to go. Someone would claim him. No one is going to trust the Browns quarterback evaluation capabilities. You know, and I hear what you're saying. They all passed on him. You're right. I think it came out to they didn't think the juice was worth the squeeze. But if he's a camp cut and all you have to do is claim him, you know, I think someone would claim him and make him their third string before the Browns ever got him through and onto the practice squad. But I wouldn't rule that out either. Like, if he comes in and it's a disaster and he's got production cameras everywhere and he's not fulfilling it on the field and he's not meeting his needs, he's a fifth-round pick. You can cut him. I said that this morning on a show. Out of market, and they lost their mind. They thought that was insane. Like, why? What's the commitment? He's a fifth-round pick.
Why is that? Like Mel Kiper got emotional. People were arguing collusion. And I'm like, guys, can we just admit, like, hey, I really like Shador Sanders. The NFL doesn't. I'll see whether or not I'm right or they're right. Why can't we just admit this? Like, to say it's crazy, I don't understand it, because I'll tell you what, like I was going to fight you back on it. I go, okay, then they all passed up on Shedeur Sanders. They all don't think he's very good. Then the Browns of all teams take him. Okay, well, if the Browns can't get anything out of him, or he can't just magically get up to the top of the Browns, it's like, fine, go ahead and cut him. Because obviously he's showing that he ain't got anything, because if you can't start for the Browns, why the hell would you start for us?
Now, for the record, I think he's on this roster week one. I think 100% he's on the roster.
Then who's off the roster?
Flacco. Joe.
Flacco's off the roster.
Yeah. I think Joe would have enough trade value as a backup quarterback. He's making $4 million. It's not an unreasonable amount. If you're making me pick one right now today, and let's wait and see what July looks like, right? Let's get to August. But if I have to sit here today and I got to pick one guy that's not on this team, I think it's Joe. Because, again, he's 40. This year is about figuring out what you have. Like, I don't even want to get into the whole dome discussion of this, but I've written since November. Guys, this year is all about trying to get this team ready and getting an appealing product on the field by 26, 27, somewhere in there, when they start trying to sell PSLs and $10,000 seats into the stadium. Like, that's what this year is about. This year is a transition period. It is sweeping up the debris from Deshaun. So then why would you keep a 40-year-old quarterback? And that's the point that's why I had a hard time getting my arms around it when they first signed him. It just didn't make any sense. And it felt kind of like throwing the fans a bone. But, you know, obviously he thrived in Kevin's system. Obviously he played well when he was here. So, you know, it makes sense. I get it. But if this is a transition year, why would you keep a 40-year-old over a 26-year-old that had one chance, didn't go great, wasn't abysmal. This guy wasn't terrible. Wasn't great, though. But see what you have in him, and you just spent two draft picks on these kids, these young men. They're not kids, they're young men. You have to play them. You have to play all of them somehow and figure out what you have and see what you have so you know what you really need going into another really, really important draft next year. And one more thing on this, because I said this last week. Everybody goes crazy about the Browns are always rebuilding, the Browns are always rebuilding. That's actually not true. Like, from 2018 until now, they were trying really, really hard to win. Turns out they weren't very good at it. They got one playoff win out of it. But it's not like they've been perpetually rebuilding. They put their chips on the table, and they went for it. And they busted out. So now, like, this is just the reality of it. And, like, you just have to be realistic with where you're at. And this is where they're at. It was a terrible draft for quarterbacks. The roster's in shambles in certain spots. I thought they had a great draft overall. The Gabriel pick, I thought, a little weird. But other than that, I loved their draft. I thought it was great, because there are so many holes on this roster, you're not going to fill them all in one draft anyway. So take the guys that fit. Take the guys that fit your board where the talent is. So I had no issue with how they draft. I thought it was great. But you just need to be realistic with where they're at. And I don't see how a 40-year-old quarterback gets you anywhere. You got to play everyone else and see what you have. And if the answer is we don't have them, well, congratulations. You're going to be bad enough that you'll probably be in position to go get them next year.
Were you surprised at the stuff that's come out about, from anonymous sources, but that has come out about Shedeur and how he interviewed with teams and how bad some of the whiteboard stuff was?
No, because, like, I'm not going to write it. And this is before, I never thought they were taking him. So I'm not going to, like, crap on this kid when I don't think he's coming here. But, I mean, I had heard all of it at the owners' meetings. There's a litany of stuff that I heard about just entitlement and, like, and again, it's not worth getting into, especially now that he's coming here. I don't want to, like, put a target on him and put this black cloud over him, but there's a lot of stuff out there about him, even, you know, that I had picked up on at the owners' meeting. So I wasn't surprised by any of it that came out. You know, it's just, again, you just have to be realistic with where it's at. And I understand people get upset with it, and I understand they get upset with anonymous sources, but it's like the Pelissero one, right? Like the Pelissero quote about the assistant coach. It's the worst interview I had, da-da-da-da-da. It's like, okay, well, I understand why you're upset by that, but if that doesn't come out, like if none of that stuff comes out and he falls the fifth round, that's when everyone stands up and says, well, why is this happening? I thought, you know, everything was great. And then when you write it then, they're like, well, then why didn't you write this before? So there's no win, right? You can't win. You put it out before, people get upset. You put it out after, people get upset. But if it's the reality, then it's the reality, and you just have to live with it. And no, I don't think he interviewed well with a number of teams, and I don't think that they liked sort of the entitlement that came with it. That's just the reality of what you're dealing with.
we got Jason Lloyd joining us on the show. I'm reading something about Elijah Moore here. Could he possibly be back even though he's visiting the Bills right now? Because they didn't go after a wide receiver. I thought for sure they'd pick up some wide receiver.
I thought they would too. And I was a little surprised that they didn't. But again, I think that they did kind of go value on a lot of places on the board, and it just didn't fall that way. And they have so many holes to fill. Like, so I can't be upset that they necessarily didn't take one, but I am a little bit surprised. I thought receiver and offensive line are two huge areas of need right now. But you're not going to fix everything in one draft. I don't care if Elijah Moore is back or not. Like, what's he done? What's he proven?
Well, I'm looking for anybody who could kind of fill that slot. I'm just asking because they didn't go after somebody young as a wide receiver. And I mean, it's like, all right, he's still not that old, and he probably at this juncture in free agency, he can't be that expensive. So I figured I'd throw that name out at you. I do have to move on to more pressing things. What about Nick Chubb? Is he done with the Browns?
Yeah, I think so. Right? Like, I think, I mean, they drafted two rookie running backs. How they sent a pretty clear message, and I think he probably needs a change of scenery. Like, Pat, put yourself in the player's shoes on some of this stuff. And I've always wondered this offseason about, and I haven't talked to him. I have no idea. But 2023, dude was a perfect model citizen. Did everything right. Keeps his mouth shut. Never in the headlines. Nothing. They took the captaincy away from him and gave it to Deshaun. And then last year, they restructured his contract. Now, again, not to get in the weeds of cap, but he had zero guarantee. They could have cut him and just left him with nothing. So they kind of did him a solid, but at the same time, he was owed, I don't remember, I think the number was like $12 million, and he restructured and he got a whole lot less than that. If you were him and you went through all of this and you went through all the losing, wouldn't you kind of want to see what else is out there? Like, I totally get why Cleveland loves him. I do too. He's phenomenal. But put yourself in the player's shoes. Wouldn't you want a chance to see, you know what, it hasn't gone so great for me here. Let's see what else is out there.
Well, I'm hearing more and more, Jason, like over the week, it kind of feels like it's almost mutual, where it's like, all right, they got two new running backs in. And for Nick, if his career may be at the twilight, like he's not stupid. He knows that this could be very well be his last season. Maybe he wants to go with a team that could contend a little bit better than what the Browns are this year. Like, I'm hearing a certain team in the NFC North, which I'm like, okay, it's not the AFC North. It's not the Steelers. Fine. You know, so be it. And I wish Nick well, because he'll always be beloved here in Cleveland.
Yeah, it gets windy sometimes in the wintertime around free agent negotiations. But with Nick, yes, I think he deserves a change of scenery if that's what he wants. Obviously, even if he did came back, there wasn't going to be much of a role for him here. Especially with the Judkins pick. I love the Judkins pick. I was probably in the minority, but I actually liked him a smidge more than Trevion, if you're ranking Ohio State running backs. I know a lot of other people probably had to flip the other way. I just love Judkins. I love the kid from Tennessee. Like, I think it's a great combination. Again, probably didn't go into the draft expecting to get two quarterbacks and two running backs, but this roster needs talent, period. They need an infusion of young talent, and I thought the draft accomplished that.
Jason, you're a wonderful man, and I thank you very much for the time. All the best to you and yours.
All right, boys. See ya.
Jason has Kenny being the week one starter. I don't know, man. If you're doing this season for the fans just to keep them engaged, I think it's got to be Joe. Right?
Now, who wants to see Kenny pick?
Kenny, I'm sure his family does. Right? I'm sure. Right. I'm sure a bunch of other people.
For Mike Tomlin would love it if he was the starting quarterback.
Right there. Good point.
Would like to see him start.
It's a really good point.
I don't want them to have to. Don't cut Joe. Don't trade Joe. Don't do it. Does anybody have faith in any of the other three quarterbacks whose last names aren't Pickett, Gabriel, Sanders? Like, the closest one I would have faith in is Sanders. That's obviously shaken since he was taken in the fifth round on Saturday. So I have to go, okay, I still like him, but I don't think that the NFL thinks very highly of him. They're supposed to know how long.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together. Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
A lot more than me.
That's only faith because he's unknown, though.
Yeah.
Well, he's an unknown commodity right now in the NFL.
And because he was originally supposed to be what people thought was supposed to be a top 10 guy, I guess you would have more than him with Dylan Gabriel. I don't think you have very much at all with Kenny Pickett.
I don't know. If he was originally supposed to be a top 10 guy and then he went in the fifth round, I don't know how my faith got higher in him.
Like, I know that Joe did not do too terribly well in Indianapolis. But, man, if you were to get rid of Joe before the season and go into the season with Kenny.
Well, it's so hard because last year in Washington, you know, Jacoby Brissett was there. He had gone there. Part of it was Van Pelt had worked with him the year before and was the OC up there. So I think the thought was, hey, we're going to draft somebody. Now, they drafted theirs in the first round as opposed to the two quarterbacks we got.
They took one in the sixth round last year, too.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, and they traded him.
But the thought was, hey, Jacoby Brissett doesn't really need all those reps anyway. He knows the offense, and you're going to hand the torch over to the young rookie. And, you know, that seemed to work out pretty well. In this case, I don't know. I don't understand what the strategy is here. What is the larger strategy at play?
I wish I could tell you. I don't know. The larger strategy is you're trying to see if you have anything, if you can strike lightning in a bottle with any of those guys. I don't think they wanted to make that investment in a quarterback very high, so they waited until the third round to make it with Dylan Gabriel. I think that anybody could have seen a situation where, okay, the season will go to hell. If the season goes to hell, then Dylan Gabriel will eventually play. I'm sure he'll look like hell too. And then they'll move on from these guys, and then they'll go out and take their quarterback. Or even if they don't move on from these guys, they're going to go out and take the quarterback in the first round. Which my thought is, I'll tell you this, and this is going to get where it's crazy. Jason mentioned briefly the Arch Manning situation. You're going to hear some wild stuff. If the season goes where they're not that good at all, you're going to hear some wild stuff about the Haslams and the Mannings and all that other stuff. You will hear it. If you do not have the first overall pick, like, where do you think that they're bad enough to get number one overall next year? I don't.
Okay, I will say Vegas does. Vegas thinks you're one of the worst teams in the league.
Okay, but they lost.
And that did not change with the draft.
They did not try to win a game for the last 5 weeks of the season. Not correct. Maybe the last four. I'm not sure, but I got to figure out when that Denver game was. They didn't try to win a game for the last 5 weeks of the season. So if they were trying to win a game, maybe they still would have lost them. But I don't think that they're 3-14 bad. If they're not 3-14 bad, then I guess I got to tell you guys this. You got to hope Arch Manning comes out. Because either A, you have the wherewithal to trade up in case that team does not need Arch Manning. We don't know that yet. These are unknown knowns. Or B, the team that is number one overall, they need Arch Manning. They're going to take Arch Manning, and this is a Cam Ward situation where it's done before it starts. And then, because the quarterback class would be better, a better quarterback from last year, not better than Arch Manning, but a good quarterback who might go number one overall, who might go two or three, gets pushed down to you that you can go up and get that guy. Because that's what you're looking for. Everybody's looking for the savior. You've got to look for a guy who keeps you in the conversation. Josh Allen is seen as the savior to us where we don't have a quarterback. He keeps them in the conversation. Lamar Jackson keeps them in the conversation. Joe Burrow, even though last year was rough, he keeps them in the conversation. That's what you're aiming for. So, yeah, Arch Manning may come into the league next year and might be the savior for a franchise. If we can't get a grip on him, then we're going to have to take a guy who's going to keep us there. And as of right now, you know, I'm not sure who that guy's going to be. I think Lenore Sellers is probably going to have a really nice year. He's going to be in that topic. Drew Aller is going to be there. Gary Nussmeier is going to be there. I'm sure there's other names that I can't think of off the top of my head. I think Drew Aller will look really good by the end of next year. God, I'm hoping. Because, you know, the game against Notre Dame and Ohio State didn't really go the way we thought it was going to go. So that's what you're looking at there. So either A, and here I am doing the alphabet again, you're either going to have a season where Dylan Gabriel really does show up and plays well and we have ourselves an argument, or Shedeur Sanders shows up, plays well, and we really have ourselves an argument. Maybe Kenny, maybe.
Yeah, what is the likelihood one of them ends up looking way, way better? Like immediately where everyone's like, oh, okay. Like, is there any chance that happens with Shador?
Because you need to have the conversation that Kenny Pickett, even if he were to do well, say you have the resurrected Geno Smith or Sam Darnold. Are you going to pass up on that crop of quarterbacks to keep the resurrected Geno Smith or Sam Darnold? Or are you going to go after one of those quarterbacks who you immediately were to think that those guys would be better than that category of quarterback, than guys who have revamped their career? By next year's draft, we may not believe either any one of those guys are. But as of right now, the answer is yes. That those guys, any one of those guys out of that top end of that draft, are going to be better than Darnold, Smith, and then possibly Kenny Pickett if he were to revamp it. Or, hey, you finished too high, you finished too good, you do not have the wherewithal to make the trades, or none of those guys are worthy of making the trade. So there's just so many unknowns. That's why it's like, all right, let's see if Dylan Gabriel can try to do something here. Let's see if Shador Sanders can try to do something here. Because to what Owen said, I would have Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett work out in the practices against Carolina and Philadelphia. I would have Dylan Gabriel and Shador Sanders start and then come in. You can switch them if you want to in the joint game preseason games between Philadelphia and Carolina. And then I think the third preseason game. Is that after those games, or do we not know yet?
The third one is third.
It's before the fourth. I miss those days.
Is Philadelphia or Carolina the
Carolina's
last preseason
week one,
game?
Philly's week two.
Okay.
And then there is a third preseason game.
Smart ass. Week three. Thank you. So week three, you would play Joe or Kenny in the first half of that game. 216-474-0090. Why do you do that? Why?
You do it, buddy. I just pointed out.
No, I don't. You know where I'm going. You just don't give me anything. You went on vacation. You're supposed to be a nicer person when you come back.
No.
KC in Cleveland. Yellow.
Yo, Ken, man, you cannot sit here and play both sides of the fence, bro. I'm not going to allow it. I listen to you every morning, man.
What?
Right now, wait. It sounds like you're punting on this year. It sounds like you're punting and giving up on the year. So I don't want to hear you week 4, 5, 6, 7. If the Browns are doing good, all of a sudden Super Browns come out of y'all.
Oh, for the love of God.
I do not want to hear it, bro.
KC, I did Super Bowl Super Browns when a fifth-round pick was taken. I did Super Bowl Super Browns after Christian Kirksey said they weren't going to go 1-16 or 0-16. No, I don't know what you mean, because it was boring.
You better not jump on the bandwagon.
What? I'm always on the
bandwagon. You're not on the bandwagon.
So wait a minute. I have to talk nothing but positivity about the Browns and think that they're going to the playoffs at all times to be on the bandwagon.
The preseason hasn't even started.
So you're telling me, KC, when you go around, when you go to work, when you go to the store, when you go with your family, you say nothing but the Browns positivity and you say that the Browns are going to the playoffs this year?
You know, only because I'm a true diehard fan, I believe. Excuse me.
Then your friends and family, who also are Browns fans but probably think the same way I do, thank you for the call, think you're insane.
A true fan. I love it.
They think you're insane.
Finally, we get a real fan to knock some sense into
there
Ken
was
Carmen.
Nothing they did.
Carmen.
Guys, there's
that
nothing
hater.
They did during this offseason that says that they're a playoff team. I hope that they go to the playoffs. There's
on
nothing
more,
that they've
Ken.
Done. That's not hating.
Like.
So people. Oh boy, that's going to make some of the people who tweet at you all the time pretty happy that I'm the negative
when
one about the Browns.
When are we going to get to the point where Ken will say something finally
Come on, Ken.
Nice
Just say,
about
say
this
one thing
team.
Nice
When am
about
I going to be positive about this Browns football
Give
team?
Give me
I'll
one positive thing.
I enjoy their colors.
Let's go.
I enjoy the 537 boys.
It was 1950 in the cold and rain when my father took.
Gatekeeping me on my comments of the Cleveland Browns.
I think Kenny's in a running for dog pound captain.
There we go.
Or is it going to be Dion? They got to figure out the schedules.
216-474.
Can you imagine that if it's Dion and his film crew? So quick. And it was all Guardians fans were pointing to the fan immediately. They're like, he said it. Get him out of here.
Well, because it wasn't poor taste. Jaren Duran had a suicide attempt back in 2022. Apparently, a fan yelled something in his general direction about it, and a scuffle ensued. nothing physical happened between the fan and the player, thank God. It seemed that Duran was ready to go into the stands if he wanted to. The fans were immediately pointing him out, so I don't believe that the fan is going to be allowed back into the stadium anytime soon after what he said to Jaren Duran. Obviously, no one condones that sort of behavior for the love of God.
Now, I know they are doing an investigation with Major League Baseball, and there is a good chance that not only does he get banned here, but throughout Major League Baseball. They do that now.
It's real bad. It's a real, real bad thing to do, and just ugly on multiple fronts. So I wish there was something better. They do a good job of fan engagement over there with the Guardians, but sad that they have to put their foot down in that situation. It's very ugly.
Do you care how old when fans say stupid things? Because like when I was young, I said the dumbest things. I said the most ridiculous things to athletes, and it was all under the money.
I've done this before, like with guys who they get banned for life doing stupid stuff, like running on the field, running on the floor. And I go, yeah, it's funny when you're 20 years old and you're drunk at a game or something like that, like you and your buddies were smashing beers in the parking lot. You think it's funny then, but like, dude, you're eventually going to have kids. Like, I can't imagine being 38 and trying to take Axel to a game like, you're not allowed to be here. I don't know if that stuff matters maybe later in life. Maybe they're like, is there some statute of limitations where they stop checking and you get into Rocket Arena if you run out on the floor later?
Well, eventually.
I'm not sure.
Eventually, we're all going to be on facial recognition.
Exactly. Right? So if they see
you. What do you mean eventually?
Well, no, they do that at Clippers games.
Yeah, they have them in some venues.
I don't think
venues.
You have a season ticket members like do not have a ticket. Well, you just walk by and scan your face.
We hosted the MLB All-Star game in 2019, and they had that clear technology then.
Yes.
So it's not like they just don't have it. They don't use it. You don't have the ability to just
we're getting closer.
Walk through the gate and not even be checked by security, but it's around there.
Also, did the Cavaliers make you feel any better about taking on the Celtics because of this about to be sweep tonight?
You know what? It's partly I've seen Boston really, really work to clear this Orlando team that isn't even healthy. And I know they play defense. Miami plays no defense right now. They're not. And part of it is they can't. The Cavs are so good. I don't want to make it seem like it's just because the Heat are bad. The Cavs are so good that they've got no answers. But yes, I feel a little better about the Cavs today than I did at the start.
I agree. I think it's Evan Mobley's play. I think that he's got, I know he kind of disappeared in game one. Game two, he was there. Certainly on Saturday, I thought he was the best player on the floor in the first half. Got to be honest with you, they were just blowing him out in the second half, so I really didn't notice much in the second half considering what was going on with the news and everything.
We were having fun.
But he was the best player I saw on the floor in the first half of that game I was watching with you. I feel better because of Evan Mobley. Maybe I'll end up being wrong. I know that Orlando's a tougher team to dispatch than Miami. Miami's not played defense at all. I can't even say they've played bad defense because you got to play some defense to play it. I do feel better because of what that is. And Darius Garland coming back from the bang up of the toe. Ty Jerome playing the way that he did. It's forced an awkward conversation with fans, ones that we want to avoid, but I think it's forced a conversation with fans, whether or not we think it's possible or not. But it's nice to have two guys there that can carry that load and play very well for you. So it's given me some spirit there about this basketball team, a little bit more than I had before about taking on the Boston Celtics. I did get a tweet. Twitter reactions brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Dobbs on Twitter. Ken, you guys are not talking about one specific quarterback. Seems like he is training in the Browns facility every day, wanting to come back. Are we 100% sure he is going on IR? What if he does not? Could we cut him?
Play the laugh track.
I saw this online. There were people say, well, Watson's QB1. I go, what planet are you guys living on? Is this just a troll?
I assumed it was a gag, anybody tweeting about it. Because mostly it's sarcasm. Anybody that I've seen tweet about him working out or anything, or the one of the emojis that people use anytime they talk about him, it's total sarcasm.
Yeah, he's not playing this year. And then he'll be cut next season, next summer.
He's never throwing a pass
for the
Browns
again. That'll be the end. I wonder if he ever throws a pass in the NFL again, but I don't think he's going to throw one for the Browns again. As of right now, it's either Kenny or Joe or Kenny, Dylan Gabriel, Shador Sanders. That's where your quarterback room is. It does not involve Deshaun Watson. I think Deshaun Watson will be IR'd for designation, then IR'd out for the rest of the season, and we will not be seeing, like last year when he did his rehab by himself, he will continue to rehab by himself and not be in the facility when he doesn't need to be. Because I wonder if there's certain provosos Provisos.
I like a good proviso.
There it is, proviso. Provosts. There's a nice proviso, maybe, about him BYU showing up there. Yeah.
What did you think of Kyle McCord getting drafted ahead of Will Howard? We had Browns fans that legitimately liked Will Howard more than Shedeur Sanders.
You have a Ken Carmen here who legitimately liked Will Howard. No, sorry. Not Ken Carmen. Then Shedeur Sanders. Sorry. Yeah. I thought you said Kyle McCord at first. I liked Will Howard way more than I like Kyle McCord. Sorry.
What did you think about Jack Sawyer?
You saw my face when you told me that.
Who changed Ohio State's potential fortunes on winning a championship.
Describe the face I made when you told me.
He got drafted by the Steelers, and I said, Ken just had a face that would sink 1,000 boats.
I really did. I'm sitting at the bar, I go, you got to be kidding me. Of all the teams.
Can we flash back to that Saturday at, like, we'll say it's 6 p.m. Saturday after Thanksgiving. And I tell you, you're going to have Mason Graham, and they're going to have Jack Sawyer. How would you feel about that?
I would have felt really good.
After the flag planting.
I would have felt really good.
That is, now, I will say, as a Buckeye fan, and I said this to anybody who is a hater of all things Michigan, and that's I'm included. But if you're going to get a guy, you want a guy that kicked your ass, don't you?
Yeah.
Don't you feel like, hey, if my team won the national championship – and he kicked our ass. That's probably a great guy to have.
I did have a Michigan fan. Not the Michigan fan you think of. They sent me a meme, and it was the Will Howard yelling at Jack Sawyer on the sidelines, excited after the scoop and score. And it said, we're finally getting gold pants, which I was like, okay.
Okay.
All right. That's not bad. Not bad. But I hated that Will Howard. I hated that Jack Sawyer ended up going to Pittsburgh, and I really hate that Will Howard's going to go there. Not enough to say that he's going to beat us twice a year for the next 10 years. You and I were on the same thread as somebody saying he's going to beat us twice a year over the next 10 years. Just like, he's a six-round pick. Let's hold our horses here just a little bit.
You, Pony, and Lima were on the same thread. Cool.
No, it was not that one. Surprisingly enough, it was not him. Even though he was texting us on Saturday. But not about that. Oh, I was going to get to Todd. I can't get to Todd. I'm sorry. Sorry, Todd. Tomorrow, Todd, I apologize.
Todd, stay around, Baskin and Phelps will take
you. Stay on hold for 22 hours. I will get to you tomorrow morning, I promise.
I could not believe Baskin has a take on Joe Flacco that you just got to hear it to believe.
Baskin, more like Trashkin.
Yes, he's got some intel on Flacco. You just got to hear it.
He's Trashkin Joe Flacco coming up next. Thanks to everybody who joined us today. Jason was great. Daryl, not so much. You're not going to back me up on that? You're just going to let me hang out there in the wind? Okay. See where the support is here?
I like Daryl Ryder. Come on.
I like Daryl, too. I just totally disagreed with two of the things he said. I thought it was ridiculous. I love Daryl. I got Daryl a subscription to This Old House magazine for a year. Yeah. I see you. I don't see you getting him subscriptions to This Old House magazine.
He got him a subscription to taking pictures at his birthday party.
Yeah. You just employed him. I treat him like a friend. And that's why I talk to him like a friend. Like when he says silly things about Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders.